Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 180, part 1, The Spiritual Flood is Coming. Today is Friday, December 31st, 2010, New Year's Eve. Happy New Year. Be safe. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota and is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live anywhere in the state of Minnesota, and you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. That's all there is to it. Just simply call us, register, and you'll be able to come in the next day to pick up groceries and come in once a month after that. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation. You'll see that up at the top of the homepage. You're also going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to check out PastorPaul.org and connect to the online community. You can also call our new comment line. Be sure to do that. The new line is, if you're out of state, 1-877-489-0922. Local, 612-208-0918. So be sure to call the comment line. You can ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. We'll probably post those comments throughout the week at Pastor Paul's blog. So be sure to give us a call. At Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. So be sure to check those links out after you listen to Pastor Paul's messages. This month, the month of December, here is the lineup. Whatever happened to the will of God for now, Be My Witnesses, Tried Faith, Hypocrisy, and The Spiritual Flood is Coming. Those are the five messages for the month of December, starting with Friday, December 3rd. Be sure to listen to both parts. Part 1 is on Friday. Part 2 is on Sunday. So you can listen to both parts of the same message. The conclusion is on Sunday. Have a great month of December. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. God bless you. And we'll see you back here twice weekly for Pastor Paul's podcast.
The message is entitled, The Spiritual Flood is Coming. The spiritual flood is coming. Today then, let's enter into Isaiah 59 and 19, and it says like this, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. That's happening in many people's lives right now and in churches. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Several times in my ministry, I have had floods come in. I call them spiritual floods. And I believe it to be one of Satan's most fatal devices to turn aside gospel ministers, to defeat them, to think, well, you're not knowledgeable enough, and you listening on the radio, you preachers out there, to turn you aside from the gospel message with the popular preachings of hyper faith, prosperity is for you, Amway tactics, Mary Kay tactics, and so on like that, and take you away from the cross and the blood and what the work is really all about, and get you into speculations. What if fears? What if the money doesn't come in? What if people don't support you? What if? What if? And they get you into all these things. This is Satan. Maybe he'll take you, preacher, into the political arena. And some people come down and ask me to, or coach me into being the state representative. I have no business doing that. They'll even tell you everything that you're to say. I thought, I'd be no good. I'd get up and I'd start preaching the gospel. See, I have been willing, made willing in the day of his power to preach the gospel. Now, I can't do anything else. I might be fooled and go into this thing, if I were to be fooled, get up in the House of Representatives and start preaching the gospel, and they'd have to throw me out of there. Preacher, don't fall into that. You're seeing it all the time on TV. People entering in to the political arena. Or arguments about scriptures. And the Bible says, don't get into vain discussions about the Word of God. The interpretation of prophecies, you don't have to get into that, for they will interpret themselves by their fulfillment. Time will tell. So many times I see people will give a personal prophecy over someone, or you're going to meet a dark, tall, beautiful man. Then they'll go looking around for one so that their prophecy will be fulfilled. Well, there's one over there. There's one over here. No, time will tell, not manipulation of the scriptures. Because I believe that providence then is the true interpreter of prophecy. God is his own interpreter. Many times we can lay judgments on one another and say, well, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And sort of the end of the world for a person. We don't know anything. The Bible says, know nothing. When you go wise in your own understanding, know nothing. But God will make it very plain. And also, if God has made you willing in the day of his power, you will only go willingly one way, and that will be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will not be defeated. And even though that he slay me, yet will I trust him. You'll have that type of ministry, and you might even go down. You might even be crucified for Christ's sake. But you see, that's what the gospel is. The gospel is no matter what happens to you, you still glorify the Lord. And no matter what people think or what they say, you keep on preaching the glorious gospel and stay where you're planted, preacher. Now, if they burn the building down, put a tent where it was. But stay there. The Bible says we are commanded to go into the world, present the gospel, pray for the sick, and preach deliverance. It says to set the captives free. My God, in my own personal ministry, I've seen the captives be set free. They get so free sometimes they leave your church. They have to go a step further. Say amen. But I am a gospel preacher, and I will not waste energy on speculations. I think all of our time should be spent on winning souls to Jesus Christ. And now we're all preaching. Hey, the end of the world is here. Why are we wasting time? Why not do the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? Feed the poor. Meet the needs of the people. Get busy. You know, one sure way of getting your mind off yourself is getting your mind on someone else, and that is the mind of Christ. Giving your life for someone else. Giving it all over for Jesus Christ. You forget all your own problems. Now, we were down here cooking the other day, isn't that right, dear? And you kind of forget all your own problems. You get so busy and chopping up celery and onions and cooking up meat and doing all this whole kind of thing, you know. You forget all about your own problems. You even get happy doing it. Now that's a miracle for some people to get happy doing some work, but it will happen. How many are hearing this? See, we need to go on with this thing. We spend so much time guarding our reputations. Now, if I was to be guarding my reputation, I would be doing only that. Because it seems like every time I gain a little bit of a reputation, I lose it. That's where I'm at right now. I think I've lost it as far as I can lose it. Well, I ain't going to say that, because then I'll be tested some other way and lose another piece of it. But walking around with my head in my hands. But don't worry about losing your reputation. And we're so worried about our appearances. We truly, like I said, Friday night become hypocrites. See, if you got to guard your reputation, it means there's something you got to hide about your reputation. Bible says, let all things be done in the light. Don't be a hypocrite. I think the general principle here is very clear, that when Satan comes against the people of God, the Holy Spirit, it says, will raise up a standard against him. So first, refer to the text, the holy war in our hearts. Then secondly, to the holy war which is waged in the world outside, not, it says in the Bible, with flesh and blood, but with spiritual wickedness in high places. And so number one, the conflict which is raging in the Christian's inner man. How many have conflicts that rage on inside of you? Oh, all the time. Oh, yes, brother, I have peace. Sister, I have peace, and so on. But we're always at war within ourselves, aren't we? That conflict which is raging in the Christian's inner man, to serve or not to serve. Oh, that's the thing, isn't it? Many times in my own personal ministry, I say, God, do you want me to serve under all of this pressure? You want me to get up and minister under all this pressure and all the speculations that are going on? God has always spoken to me. He says, Paul, has that got anything to do with what I have given you to do? Go on. Keep on keeping on and go on. Oh, and as we're faithful to go on in what God has called us to do, we see little miracles every day. Not little miracles, mighty miracles. Kids that I knew that were 2 years old, now they're 9 years old. Kids that were 9 years old are now 16 years old since I came down here. Kids that I started out in Brooklyn Park with, they're all over. They're in Israel. They're in Africa. They're in all parts of the United States. They're ministering all over the place. No, keep on. I think the best witness that we can have, preachers, now you're hearing me on the radio or listening to this tape, the very best witness you can have is to go on having done all that you can do, and you're under a lot of tremendous traumatic pressure to go on. Even though your knees are ready to buckle. How many know what it means to have your knees ready to buckle? I remember when I used to get in the ring when I was in Golden Gloves. I probably said this before. Sometimes I repeat myself. It's okay. Maybe somebody's new here. Who knows? But when I get in there, my legs were like jelly. And I'd try to act like they weren't, and I'd put in there and go down. Get in there and do one of them, rocky deals, and I'd try like that. My knees wouldn't even hold me up. But you know what got me going? The first blast in the face. Then after I got hit in my face, the wind knocked out of me. I wasn't concerned about how my knees look. See, appearances. We're so afraid someone will see us with feeble knees. Hey, that is at your best point, preacher, when you got feeble knees and your heart is ready to faint and you think, oh, God, doesn't anybody love me anymore? Oh, Lord, everybody hates me. They're throwing mud pies. Hey, shut up. Go on with what God has told you to do and let the mud pies fly. Glory to God, and God will meet your need. Preachers, in the end, are going to be under a real hellish fire. Now, anyone preaching the gospel is going to understand what I'm talking about. But anyway, I know it's very important that we fully understand the position of the Christian. Now, what is the position of the Christian? This is not the land of triumph. Number one. And this is not the time to rest. This is not the time to sit down. This is not the time to rest. This is the time to go ahead full blast. Now, when I go through financial difficulties, when I get into a corner, when the ministry is going through hard times, what you have to do then is go double time. Now, in the world, when their business isn't making it, they work all the harder if they've got any kind of business sense at all, right? Now, if you're drowning, you swim all the harder, don't you? And if you see shore over there, you really go at it. Well, tell you what, I'm seeing shore, and I'm getting my second wind, and I'm going to make it over to the other side. How about you? Come on, let's get excited about what's happening down here on the north side. Come on. Anyway, to set aside your armor right now would be folly. I mean, the ship must not be put into mothballs. It's got a whole lot of storms yet to go through. Well, let's just take this great big old spiritual ship and you know, mothball it up and put closed on the doors. You preachers, don't you do it. Hey, you're going to close them down all over the place, and we'll just put it over here and say, sorry, close. Too much persecution, too much scandal, too much gossip, too many mouths against it. Hey, it ain't got nothing to do with it. Say amen, somebody. You leave those doors open as a testimony that God is able. Do you think God is able? Well, I know He is for me. I don't know about you. Well, hey, how about yourself? How many know that God is able? Hey, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be even down here. I would certainly not be up here preaching the Word of God. I know that God is able. I mean, the warrior hasn't been slain yet. The enemies, these warriors on the enemy side have not been slain. Nor the Christian right now, it's not to lay down your sword. Are you hearing it? I mean, the minute you're saved, you enter into spiritual warfare. Now, I was doing all right in the world. I was just good and miserable. Like everybody else. Then I got saved and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was real happy for about 2 weeks. And then I was good and miserable, but then I was confused. Oh, now, this isn't scriptural. It is. It is. Because I didn't know if it was me or the devil or the world. And I started to get into all these things. I thought, I was better off before. But what I didn't realize is that God will raise up a standard against the... I was facing a flood. How many know when you first get saved, you face a flood of relatives, a flood of people that you work with, a floods from your own sin nature, floods of temptation, floods of desire. And you say, God, no, I went out and I witnessed to everybody and I told them about Jesus and everything, and I told them I was saved and I led some people to the Lord, and now I'm in a real mess. God, before I just had my, you know. But you have to learn and you have to get into the battle, and people need to be told right now in this day and age that we are facing spiritual battles. Young people are facing spiritual battles, isn't that right? I mean, there's a spiritual battle for your life, and there's a spiritual battle for your life. The enemy is out, it says, to rob and kill and destroy. Well, what do you do then? Do you lay down the armor? Do you go back to your friends and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong? No. You put on the full armor of God even though it doesn't fit you. You look kind of corny at first because it doesn't fit. But you have to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and pretty soon that armor will fit you. You're going in there a rookie. You get your head all shaved off, you look kind of corny, and you only got a few little spiritual little icky whiskers hanging off your face, you know what I'm saying? And you get up there and you look kind of corny and you say a whole lot of things. You don't know much about what you're talking about, but you're like a child, understand? And you go ahead until you get built up in the faith, and it's always a battle. Well, does it ever end? Well, it sure hasn't ended for me. No. It doesn't end at all. I think that war only ends when we go to be with Jesus. There are enemies within you. How many of those enemies on the inside? Waging war all the time. Oh, enemies of depression. You wake up in the morning, oh my God, why am I so depressed? That's the enemy. How many know that's the enemy? You ever seen someone that gets into depression? Now, I've known young people, they're so beautiful and they have the joy of the Lord on them. God, it makes me mad. And you know what? They have the joy of Jesus on them. And all of a sudden, you're looking at them and they're depressed. Oh, and they're down and they're blue and they're fearful about what might happen. And oh, gee, and they're walking around and they get sort of all pasty looking and white in the lips. And they don't say anything anymore. And they just sort of feel like sort of a spiritual nerd. And oh, my God, what's ever going to happen? And they get all balled up in that. Let me tell you one thing, folks, don't fall into it. Let the full joy of the Lord hit on you and you receive it. Don't try to explain your life to someone. They don't want to hear it anyway. They're too busy with their own. You hearing it? They are too busy fighting the battle themselves. I know I am. How about you? Now I hear a lot of sighing in your, oh, and the radio audience is starting to receive it a little bit. Lay down your Frito-Lay potato chips and your popcorn and your Pepsi. You're in church. See, you will never be fully delivered from the influence of inbred sin. Never. Well, that's a real negative. No, it's the truth. You're always going to be battling the flesh. Now, I didn't say go out and shoot yourself in the head. I'm saying there is always a battle with the flesh. What is the flesh? Well, the flesh is something that gets defeated every other day. Isn't that right? Every other day. You try to get that flesh up in the morning. Oh, God, another day. Another day. I hate to face it. There's been so many things happen in my life, and I'm just, oh, one more thing, and I'm going to throw in the towel. I just hate it out there. Oh, my God. Well, maybe you need to tell somebody just exactly how you feel and get it off your chest. I didn't say kill them. Tell them and then pray for yourself. But for God's sake, tell them. Say amen, somebody. See, I think a lot of times we're just not honest, are we? How are you? Oh, fine. Saved and filled and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Like I said Friday night, we're all fine and well, and we got 10,000 people, and we got our arms raised, and we're all singing, oh, how I love Jesus. And the crowds are swaying, huh? And the husband's at home with a stack of TV dinner trays like this that he's used up. Oh, how I hate Agnes. Say amen, somebody. Whew. See, you got a brand new nature, praise the Lord, that can't sin. A brand new nature that cannot sin. The flesh does. The old nature, the carnal man is still there. How many know the carnal man is still there? Well, you leave here, your carnal man is. Don't you have to eat? How many here are going to get hungry? Huh? The carnal man is still there. You're still taking care of it, aren't you? You got up this morning, took a shower, bath, whatever, combed your hair. No, you're still here. See, some people act like they're not here. I always tell them, if you're not all here, you're not all there. Huh? No, you're still here. You're still going to have temptation. You're still going to have desire. You're still going to have the sin nature. And to say you don't, the Bible says you're a liar and there's no truth in you. Oh, but gee, you shouldn't tell people that. They'll just use that for an excuse to sin. No, they have a conscience. Say amen, somebody. You're not under judgment. But you can receive conviction from the Holy Ghost all of the time. Are you hearing this? First off, I got to tell you something here. Your carnal man is not reconciled to God. The Bible says that the carnal man is at enmity with God. That means the carnal flesh part of you hates God. Your flesh does. Well, how do we ever get... No, don't try to make your flesh love God. The Bible says it won't work. There's an inner man that loves God. There's the flesh that hates God. Do you always love to do what your parents tell you to do? No. Do you always love to do in your flesh what the Bible tells you to do? No. And so the battle goes on and on and on. And sometimes we even enter into legal things with ourselves. We set up all kinds of rules and regulations, do's and won'ts, chants and shows and so on, act like that. We try to make it. We try to say, well, I'll do this and I'll do that and it'll work out. And tomorrow will be a brighter day and I'll turn over a new leaf. It don't work. You get worse. Then I say, God, I'm a sinner saved by grace and you got to help me through this day. See, I believe within each person, the house of Saul is in our heart. Wars against the house of David. You remember David, how he was playing on his little harp? Plinky, plink, plink. And Saul got mad and threw a spear at him? That's the same way with us. The conflict will continue with more or less violence until you die. Now, if you don't war with Satan, then you're not going to have that kind of conflict. But you know what? You won't have any peace either. It's only when you're in the battle and when you're in the war and when you call upon the name of the Lord in a time of trouble, when you get your eyes set on the things of Christ, not on the things of the world, not on all the fleshy things back there, not on all the conversation, not on all the things that people do, but you put your mind on Christ. And you put your mind on Christ, and you're going to have joy, and you're going to have peace, and you're going to have power. Now, you ain't going to be jumping down, up and down all the time. But you're going to have a direction. Because if you're divided between the two, you're going to fall. Say amen, somebody. Well, that means you got some kind of decisions to make, doesn't it? But also on the world without are multitudes of foes. The vain world is no friend of the work of grace. If you were in the world, if you were of the world, the Bible says the world would love you. How many know the world hates you? It hates you. Are you hearing it? Satan hates God. The flesh hates God. Are you hearing this? And I believe this, that Satan, and I know this, that Satan will spare no arrow against you. How many have been hit by arrows lately? Put your hands up. I mean real arrows. Now what have I said here? Put on the full armor of God. Because you know why? The enemy, it says, will come in like a flood and suddenly without notice, the dam is going to break. And in rushes the water to the valleys below. It kills everything in its path. Say amen, somebody. How are you ever going to make it? You're going to have to lift up your arms and say, Lord, how many have had floods in their lives? I mean floods. Say, my God, how am I going to swim against this flood? And the harder you swim and the harder you kick, the more water you swallow. And you get advice from this person and from that person and counsel from this person and that person. You're looking all over for these lifesavers to come your way and there's only one that can save you. And what is that? Say that name. Jesus. You're all going to have to come into that. It will be well for you anyway who know the spiritual conflict to be fully conscious of your own utter impotence against this terrific danger. Be aware that you cannot fight this thing by yourself. Who can escape it? My God, I have been in floods. I have been in torrents of water coming over me. You are surrounded with enemies, and I'll tell you right now, we are in the day of battle. And without the full armor, your flesh is wide open to attack. Put on the full armor of God. The text also tells us to thoroughly realize our position and to turn to our only help, a divine helper. Do you think as a Christian you can stop this thing that's coming on? Do you think that you can avoid it? Should you run to the minister? Should you gather up a whole lot of Christian friends? Should you stand there sandbagging the dam? No. It's the Spirit of the Lord. It's the blessed Spirit that's going to deliver us out of this thing that we're in right now. It is a hellish situation. All right. I know in my own life here, the Holy Spirit has opened me up to a whole lot of things. And the Holy Spirit has opened up my eyes that He is the only one that can operate in me and deliver me and cultivate me and make me to pray and make me to sing and make me to talk and make me to witness and make me to minister. Are you hearing this? He's the only one that makes me want to do these things. Say amen, somebody. Maybe you're sitting in here today. Maybe you're having all kinds of conflicts in your life. Maybe you're, I know, right now there's people listening to me on the radio that are having all kinds of conflicts in their life. Why? We've got to start to be honest with ourselves. Our flesh is at enmity with God. Say amen, somebody. It's a very, very hard time, isn't it? It's a time of soul seeking. It's a time of coming together. It's time for bodies right now to recognize that there's a divine and there's a higher calling. Right now, I'm into a higher calling in my life. I'm doing things that are not popular. I'm doing things right now that will not, line up with popular opinion. But I have had to make choices in my own particular ministry, and you are going to have to make, individual choices in your own, aren't you? Aren't we going to all have to come down to the wire and make individual choices in our own ministry above what other people think you should do? My God, there's a soul seeking that has to go on in the midnight hour. There's a whole lot of things that got to happen in our own personal life. And God is gathering together a people. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about just getting out there and praising the Lord. I'm talking about people, my God, that want to go to work and see a work finished. Hallelujah. And get into the battle and stay there no matter what. How many are hearing this word? And it isn't always going to be easy because there's going to be opinions. There's going to be people saying, well, why don't you do it this way? And why don't you do it that way? Why? Go with your tea.